Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, Feedback and Insights, Shir number 136. I started reading a book that was recommended called Seven Levels of Intimacy by Matthew Kelly. And very, very insightful. And I believe a lot of the aspects mentioned in this book will be helpful to share with you to enhance your marriages and to make it beautiful. In his introduction, he brings a story. And the story is very meaningful and transformative if one thinks about it within their own relationship with their husband and with their wife. And the story goes as follows. He brings a name of a person living in Boston with his wife. They have three children. He was a successful businessman. And one of the rewards of his success as a businessman is they had a summer home on Martha's Vineyard. And Sarah and the children, that was the name of the wife, the children spend the whole summer there. And David, who was the husband, spent part of each weekend and always came for the first 2 weeks of July, he came down there. So one summer a few years ago, he was driving out to the beach, to Martha's Vineyard, the beginning of July, and he made a promise to himself. He made a promise to himself that for the 2 weeks that he's going to be there this time, he's going to be a loving and attentive husband and father. He'll make himself totally available. He will turn off his cell phone, resist the temptation to be constantly checking his emails, and make himself available to his family and to really, so that they can really experience a vacation. Because the reality is this person, David, he worked too much and he knew he worked too much. Everyone around him knew that he worked too much. And when you love your work, it's one of those dangers. And I may add that if one often escapes into work to block out other issues in their life is also a danger. Very often you rely on your work to for your identity. That's one of the pitfalls of overworking, and you're defined by work. You know, you ask a person, you know, who are you? And he says, I'm an accountant, I'm a dentist. And really the response is, that's not who you are. That happens to be what you do for Parnassa, but who are you? We identify too much with that. So this David felt guilty about how much he worked. Sometimes he excused himself by saying, hey, it was necessary. And there's a lot of privileges that and opportunities that his wife and children had because he worked so hard, like the Martha's Vineyard vacation and many other things. But that rationalization doesn't really work so well. And he realized he needs to work on his family life and invest time in it. And this vacation, he was determined it was going to be different. The idea came to him when there was a CD that his friend gave him, and he put the CD as he was driving, and he was talking about these type of relationships, and David felt uncomfortable. And then finally, this man on the CD said these words, love is a choice, love is an act of will, and you can choose to love. And he heard these words, and he admitted to himself that as a husband, he was selfish. The love between him and his wife, Sarah, was weakened by his selfishness, often by his insensitivity, often by his unavailability, and his self-centeredness manifested itself in small ways. For example, he always wanted to watch his shows on television. He made his wife feel bad whenever she was late. He put his work before the needs of his family. He used to bring a newspaper to work, but he knew that his wife wanted to read it while she was home, and he wouldn't really read it at work, but he took it anyway. He would always say when to his children and his wife, some other time, not now, push things off. But he made a decision that this time around, he's not going to do that. He walked through the door, kissed his wife, told her, you really look good in that new sweater, great color for you. Sarah, his wife, was taken aback, surprised, a little puzzled. First, she thought he was teasing her for buying more clothes. But when she saw him smile, she realized it was a genuine compliment. and it felt very good to feel, to get that compliment. And after going to vacation, he really wanted to relax. It was a long drive to the Martha's Vineyard, but his wife said, you know, let's take a walk on the beach. So the husband, David, had an impulse to refuse because he was very tired, but he thought the better of it. And he thought to himself, you know, his wife was out all alone with the children all week. She wants to be alone with me, so let's take a walk. And they walked on the beach holding hands. Children were nearby flying kites. Next morning, Sarah was shocked when he brought breakfast to bed to her. Now, David needed help. He woke up his older daughter to help him with it, but he was, you know, he did it. And then he asked her, what do you want to do today? And the wife couldn't remember the last time he asked such a question to her. And she said, well, don't you have work to do? He used to work remotely from the vacation spot. He said, no, you can do anything you want. And he remembered what the man said on the CD that he heard on the way to Martha's Vineyard, that love is a choice. It's a choice. Love is a choice, a decision, a choice. And so it went for the 2 weeks. They were relaxed. They were happy. It was beautiful. He blocked out all the harassments from cell phones, emails. They visited a museum, even though the husband generally hated museums. He allowed the kids to eat ice cream when they wanted, you know, give them a little treat. He held his tongue when his wife was late for a particular event, whatever it was. The daughter even asked, did he win a lottery or something? What happened with him? And the wife asked, but she was wondering the same question. And so on the last day, the husband excused himself and he walked on the beach alone. And he was thinking, and he said, from now on, I'm going to choose to love my family. Yes, I work hard, but I'm going to really invest in spending time with my family, spending time with my wife. And as him and his wife were ready to go to sleep that night, the last night of the vacation, the wife turned to the husband, and she had a sad expression on her face. And the husband was concerned, what's the matter? And the wife said, do you know something? I don't know. And the husband asks, what do you mean? And the wife says, well, I had a checkup a few weeks ago. Did the doctor tell you something about me? Am I dying? You know, she felt maybe because he was so kind and changed his whole personality and was warm towards her was because he heard or that the doctor told him that she was dying. And that's why he changed his behavior. And the husband got very emotional. Gave her a hug and said, no, you're not dying. We're just starting to live. I'm just starting to live. And going forward, I'm going to be a healthy, dedicated husband and wife, husband to you and father to our children. And this really works both ways. Everyone could decide at any given point in their life. Yes, there is hectic life schedules. People are busy. People come across various problems in life. But if this becomes a priority, this becomes a way of life, then it's very, very transformative and it could become a beautiful relationship. Every man could become a great father, a wonderful husband. Every woman could become a great mother and a wonderful wife. And this is what Hashem wants. He wants marriages to work. He wants marriages that have drifted apart to heal. That is true rutzing. And he gets a nachas ruach from it. So we're going to talk a little bit about aspects of intimacy. The first topic we're going to discuss, which we touched upon in many different shiurim, but it needs to be emphasized that the physical aspect of it, sex, is not intimacy. It's part of intimacy. And we don't never make light of the physical sexual relationship between a husband and wife. There are many shiurim where we emphasized it. With many shiurim we explained that it's very, very in key to a marriage. It's a Pesach. It's extremely important. So there's no denying that. But still, at the same time, one needs to realize that sex does not equal intimacy. It does not guarantee intimacy. It's not absolutely necessary for intimacy, meaning in the nida period, a period after a baby, if chas v'shalom, there's, you know, one isn't feeling well for an extended period of time and it's not available. Nevertheless, the intimacy is there and it could thrive even though the physical aspects is not there. And when the problem is in our modern culture, whenever we talk about intimacy in the modern culture, it's a reference to sex. It's a reference to the physical intimacy. And in order to understand what intimacy really is, we have to go beyond that notion that sex and intimacy are synonymous. It's not synonymous. We talked about different aspects of intimacy. The sex, the physical intimacy is one of those aspects, but there are seven more. This book is called Seven Levels, which we're going to go into. But the idea being is that one really thrives on what real intimacy is. That's what gives a person chias. The people that are thriving is not because they have sex, even though some people want to imagine that that is so, but it isn't. If they have a certain intimacy. Intimacy meaning an authentic experience of loving people that you share your life with, and especially one's own husband or wife. In general, they have a genuine interest about the people around them. They connect with people. They have good relationships with people. There's a certain achdus, a unification when they meet with friends and shul members or whatever it may be, neighbors. And there's a certain connection. That's what makes them happy. And in their own family, in their own marriage, with their own children, they have a certain intimacy, a certain closeness, and especially with one's own husband or wife. That is what gives people chias. That's what has them thrive and become successful in other areas of life as well. You can live happily without new cars. You can live happily without new designer clothes. And we could live happily even if we don't vacation to these exotic places. But it's very hard to live happily without intimacy. Hashem put it in us that intimacy is one of the most legitimate needs that one is needs for happiness. You can survive without it, but you can't thrive without it. Hashem made it this way where a person needs a healthy, genuine connection, needs to have a havas habrias overall, a havas Yisrael especially, and a havas ishtoi, and a havas bala, love of a husband, a love for a wife. And human beings yearn for it. Hashem put it in our DNA. We could deny it, but that's what we desire. That's what we need. We need that willingness and desire for connecting in an intimate way, in a healthy way. And the idea of intimacy really is revealing yourself to the people around you, to the people of the world. And everything we say or do reveals something about who we are, unless we wear a mask, which we're going to talk about. And our life is about sharing ourselves with people. Relationship is self-revelation, and when we hide our true selves behind masks, it creates a distance. Now, sometimes it's necessary when you're out there in the world. Sometimes it's a coping mechanism. Sometimes you need it because it's a survival skill. But a person needs, with the healthy people around them, to be open. But the problem is we avoid it. We want that intimacy, but we run away from it. That is really the key problem in many marriages, husbands and wives alike, where they want to be connected, they want to be intimate, but they got hurt, or they're worried, or they don't want to share of themselves, or they're ashamed of that, or feels too vulnerable, so they run away and avoid it. Because part of intimacy is exposing yourself, giving away some of the secrets of your heart, of your mind, of your soul, with another imperfect, fragile human being. there's a certain fragileness in both the one who's sharing, the one who's listening. And intimacy requires that we allow the other person to let them know of what's deep inside us, what moves us, what inspires us, what drives us, what's bothering us, what is our goals, what are we running towards, what are we running from, and what demons we're fighting, and what dreams we have, and what goals we have. And it's hard for so many people to do that and to share that with another person, with their own husband and wife. It's sometimes difficult. But to be truly intimate with another person, with one's wife, one's husband, one needs to share those aspects of yourself with that person, with your husband, with your wife. You need to be willing to take off that mask. You need to be willing to let down your guard. You need to be willing to set aside the pretenses and just be honest with one another. It's one of the greatest matanais, greatest gifts that you could give another human being, by allowing them to be simply who they are, to see their strengths and weaknesses, and love them regardless, always. They see their faults also, their failings, flaws, defects, and their talents and abilities and achievements and potential. The whole gamut, not just the positive, but everything that they struggle with, and they share it with one another, and they try to grow together. And that is what intimacy really is, to allow that other person in your heart, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, sharing of yourself in a healthy way. Now, we're not talking about codependency or anything like that, just a mutual agreement to reveal of each other and give to each other. And that is truly what intimacy is. And when you have that, then yes, then the physical, the sexual, all of that falls into place in the most beautiful way as well. It gets enhanced. We talked about this many, many times. When there's a healthy emotional intimacy, then there is a healthy physical intimacy that comes along with it. And it's something that's a skill. It could be worked on. It could be developed. And you start out slow, and even if there was a drifting apart, you get reacquainted with one another, decide again to reach out to each other in a friendship. If you hurt each other in the past, you work through it, you forgive each other, and you become safe with one another, and you build. And the building is a beautiful thing, and it's extremely rewarding and extremely healing for both a husband and a wife. Bracha and Hatzlacha.